Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Humanitarian Horizons. And today is an especially special day. We're starting off good today. But it's International Women's Day, and I'm so happy to have my friend Anna, who has been on season one several times. We've had her on talking about various things as it relates to Ukraine, international clinical research. And today we're going to talk a little bit about International Women's Day and what we think it means to us. But also, I want to address some of the things that are still happening in Ukraine with respect to what Anna has to go through every day. So welcome, Anna.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much, Christina, for this invitation. Not the first time, and I am happy to be here to share some of my experience, feelings, and everything what we have with your audience, with people who will join us and see it in the podcast and recording. And I want to wish everyone in this our holiday, spring holiday, sunny holiday, to have this freedom to with the ability to want what you really want and to have these goals that is possible to achieve and to have this freedom to achieve your goals. So thank you very much. And I'm very happy to be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to meet with me today. I'm like you mentioned, the freedom. As women, we have the freedom to work in a professional environment and break the glass ceiling and do amazing things every day in our normal clothes as being a woman. So I'm really excited to talk a little bit about that and what it means to you, International Women's Day, and the fact that we're lucky enough to be able to have each other to talk to as professional women and leaders in the clinical research space.
As for me, the International Women's Day, it's something like the symbol of our women's power. Mm-hmm. So this is the place, a day in the year where we can celebrate our unique values, our unique opportunities and abilities that each woman has. Yeah, and for me, this is such a point that we can understand that we really can achieve a lot. Sometimes we are not even able to comprehend what is under our power and force to move, where we can go actually, but really we have such a big potential inside each of us, not only given this possibility to give a birth to our children, but also to share the strength, this inspiration, this power, fuel to other people around us. And this gives us possibility to be leaders, to be bosses on our places, but at the same time to make this mission or to move this mission with this ability that is unique ability and value of each woman.
I agree with you 100%. We are very, very blessed that things have come a little bit more to fruition for women, right? It's more accepting. We have in the United States, as you know, we have a woman vice president, the first ever woman vice president in the entire history of the United States. Not only is she a woman, but she is also a woman of color. So she is a minority on top of being a gender minority as well. And so I'm obviously all about women empowerment. It's one of the reasons why I started my brand. I am Christina D'Arcangelo. And many of the years that I've been in the clinical research space, I've had a male-dominated role as a woman. And you would think that because of all the progressiveness that has occurred with respect to women being in a professional setting, that things would be a little bit easier for us. But I'm here to tell you, it's not. And I'm sure you would probably agree, Anna, that you kind of like bump into things that sometimes are uncomfortable. And you're wondering, like, where are we? Are we back in the 1960s where it's okay to treat women this way? I happen to be on a podcast. A meeting a couple of days ago. And someone made a comment about my Christina D'Arcangelo heart that's behind me. And when I show up to meetings, I also show up like this, right? Because I'm in my office, my setting, my normal habitat makes me feel comfortable. And the person was felt as though my CD sign behind me was unprofessional. And it was a male that said it. And so I was like, here we go again, right? Here we go. We're talking about various clinical research things and investments and all this stuff. And I'm the only woman on the Zoom and I get picked on about my sign. And it's like, what is going on? It's a sign that says my name. And as part of who I am as an individual and a human, not only am I a professional, but I'm also a power leader as far as empowerment is concerned. So what do you think about that? Do you have things that happen to you where you're like, what was that?
Building the business and clinical trials and our own medical research site in the territory of Ukraine, I used to work in the majority of cases with the male population. And for me now, even sometimes it's tricky when I see some women in the room of negotiations or conversations and meetings, because for me, it's sometimes that I used to be among male population. And of course, sometimes, especially looking at the young age or when you look good, not according to some maybe stereotypes, how the real boss or employer should be, it caused some turbulences in the discussions as of the perception of you, your knowledge, your experience that is hiding under some of the outfit of the person. But at the same time, it's interesting. It's such part of a game probably in our business when you have some secret parts that can be then showed to the public and used as a positive, unique features of you and your business.
Yep. I would agree with you 100% on that one too, because we're attractive women, right? And so when we show up, I don't always show up like this, but I do show up, and obviously you could tell I'm a woman, right? And I've noticed that a lot of times, like if people haven't looked at my LinkedIn or gone on my website, and then I appear in a meeting, they look, they're like, oh, what? I don't get it, you know? And it's been interesting to watch all that kind of stuff happen. And as a matter of fact, I just recently had a photo shoot. I do them every quarter now because of all the press and the stuff that we're doing. I need to have, you know, professional photos, and I usually do a theme. This past photo shoot was a boss theme. So you may have seen, Anna, my post come up about International Women's Day today, and me in a very dark setting, you know, in dark clothing. That was all done intentionally, because as a woman, and we are women, and at a leadership position, we are the bosses, right? And so we should be respected just like a male is in their role as a boss, and we're respectful to them. So it would be nice if everybody could play in the sandbox the same way.
And this unique ability to change, it's only possible for a woman.
Absolutely. So we could continue on and on about this, but I also want to talk about something very important and serious. Not that International Women's Day isn't important, and some of our struggles that we have as women in power, that's all very important. But I really also want to talk about, because I'm paying attention to the time, I want to also talk to you about seriously about what you've been going through since the last time we spoke in the Ukraine. The last time we spoke, that was shortly after you guys were under fire and you were working on clinical studies, and there were bombings that were occurring right near your clinics, and your staff had lost their homes as a result of the bombings, and they were living in your phase one clinic because there was nowhere for them to go. That was what we talked about the last time. So would you mind just giving us an update on how you're feeling? What's going on for you personally? And maybe if you would like to talk about professionally, I would love to hear about it, but no pressure.
Yeah, so thank you for touching this topic and raising it. I believe it's interesting to everyone, and it's needed to be shown and shared with people how it's going on during the period of war. It's 2 years past from the start in February 2022, and still we have the same, probably everyone sees it and hears about this, that we have the same bombing, the same shelling, in our country, but now all of the Ukrainians, they used to this, unfortunately, to the used to this situation, and they know how to survive, how to adapt their lives to these conditions, and how to make it more or less normal. And but it's difficult to say that it's normality, but unfortunately, this is the new normality for Ukrainian population. For now, yeah, our clinic, it's not able to perform clinical trials because it's located in the eastern part of Ukraine, and it's not considered to any operations and activities. But the city, Kharkiv city, and the region lives. We have people there. Medical care is in place. Now we are focusing clinical trials to restart these operations on the western part of Ukraine, because this is the only one possible place where we can convince sponsors and clients to consider to of restarting their operations. And yesterday we passed the first pre-selection visit in one of our sites on the western part of Ukraine. This is the first one from the start of the war, and a small achievement, a small step that was achieved by me personally, that really we had this possibility to start. It would be oncological study, so that is the most in the demand, in the most demand among our population. So hopefully we will be able to start in 3-4 months this oncological study on the territory of Ukraine. So we see that at least now people outside of Ukraine, they consider our situation is not like abnormality, but as I said previously, a new normality, unfortunately, in such a way. But we have adaptation mechanisms. We have all of the logistics, all of these economical facilities, processes adapted to this condition. And it's really possible to perform clinical trials. It's really possible to perform any other types of economic activities inside the country, because it's really needed. It's needed for our country to survive, to have this economical profit from all of the businesses on the territory of Ukraine. And concerning clinical trials, of course, it's vitally important for patients to receive this access to innovative medicine.
Yeah, I mean, listen, congratulations first off for being able to do this. It was not a small undertaking for you to be able to get the approval and then be able to attract sponsors to want to work with you. Because everybody's afraid, you know, and especially since I'm located in the United States, I hear a lot of chatter about, you know, as you know, clinical research and enrollment, and the fact that from a US standpoint, if it's a US IND or BLA that the sponsor is responsible for, there's the diversity issues that they have in clinical trials. And I'm sure you've heard me talk about this a lot, especially lately in the humanitarian sector, because everyone needs to be represented. That's what the FDA guidance is. So that means that we have to purposely and willfully go out and work with countries like Ukraine, countries in the Asian region, you know, all over the world, right? And so here you have sick people that need help, and you're in the middle of a war, and you've had to stop your operations in the Eastern sector, opened up the Western sector so you can continue on, obviously working and paying the bills, you know, because you have a lot of bills you have to pay for financially. But also at the end of the day, you're responsible for helping patients. And that's where you started before you got into clinical research. And now it's all upside down. And to try and get the patients to feel safe, to come out of their homes, to come into your clinic, to participate in a clinical study, I'm sure that's going to be a little bit harder than it was before, right? Because I'm sure people are always looking up at the sky every time a plane goes by. I can only imagine what the mental health aspects are of these patients on top of, and not only them, but you and your staff, on top of the fact that they're sick. And oncology studies, they're no joke. These people are very, very sick if they're in an oncology study. And this is very upsetting to me personally, and it should be upsetting to everyone that is around, that has a humanitarian heart, because this is not right, what's happening to you in the Ukraine.
And when we're speaking about this patient centricity all around the world in each clinical trial, Ukrainian example, it's exactly that case about that patient centricity, when we really need to hear the patient's voice, when we really need to understand the patient's needs, when we really need to feel the patient's pain. And that's how it should be organized and done. And from the, I understand that it's business, it's money, it's first financial profitability of everyone to run the study. But in any case, at least this example of our country should highlight the necessity of empathy, the necessity of humanitarian aspect in the work that we are doing. It's, and sometimes perhaps numbers that they shouldn't be on the same equal level as the human lives.
That, I think you said that very well, because I don't think everybody thinks about things in that manner, right? They just think about, oh, it's a war, it's terrible, it's happening. That's, you know, what usually people say. They don't think about all these little intricacies of you were in the middle of running studies the last time when this happened, when the bomb started falling on the from the sky down. You had patients that you were responsible that were in a clinical study, multiple clinical studies, if I recall correctly. And now it's like, what are we supposed to do with these people? Our clinic, I mean, all this stuff. People don't think about this side of the fence, and meaning the patient side of what's going on over there in the Ukraine. There's a lot of things that are going on, but what we have to remember is there are people involved, and these people deserve care, health care. They deserve people like you who and your teams to be able to come in and to help them feel better at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And maybe shortly, some of the examples of my current activities that that is done. It was a case of one Ukrainian patient, a young girl that, from my native city, Kharkiv. She has a lymphoma for from 2020. For a few years, she passed all the possible and existing on the market cycles of chemotherapy without any positive results. The disease progressed very heavily, and before the war, 2 months before the war started, she was recommended to participate in one clinical trial, only one possible for her on the territory of Ukraine. She moved to Kyiv. She received 3 doses of pembrolizumab, and it was a positive outcome. She could go move. She could work, because previously she was not able even to move inside her flat, and she's a teacher of biology at school previously. And then the war started. She received her last dosage in March 2022, and it was said that it's not possible to continue because the shipment is blocked and stopped on the territory of Ukraine. So for her, in her 22 years, it was the only one possible chance to live, to survive. The only one, only this clinical trial, only this IMP, and nothing at all. So, and we moved her to our site in Poland. We were lucky because we had this communication. But how many patients remained without knowing this? How many even doctors, medical professionals who didn't know about this possibility to relocate patients? And she was lucky. We moved her to our Polish site. She continued her participation here in the same clinical trial in Krakow. And I met her maybe a few months ago. She has a very stable condition. She has even new love in Poland and a new work also here in Warsaw. So, but this is one example. This is a successful story with a happy end. But how many remained outside of our attention and our understanding?
Yeah, and I could imagine that some of the patients that were in your previous studies that in the eastern part of the Ukraine, you weren't able to contact. So you don't know if they were dead or alive. You have no idea what happened to them. And that has to be really upsetting for you personally, because these were all your patients that you were trying to help. And now you don't know if they're even living. You don't know anything. So it's had to have been a big toll on you with your head and heart, you know, because this is a lot we were talking about earlier about being a woman in power, but you're a woman in power in a war. That's not normal. And you're still achieving your goals and you're still helping patients. That's very commendable, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I recently made such a conclusion that As I started here at the beginning, we sometimes do not know what we can really do. And after passing these 2 years, I really know now that I can create a new words. I can create a new values, and losing everything, I understand how much you can achieve more just only changing the trajectory, the view of your movements. And I believe that's everyone should understand and remember inside that this potential exists. Sometimes we do not believe in ourselves, but really we can create new worlds, we can create new values, and we can achieve much more than we had even before, even losing everything. But we just need to find this force to look into another direction.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with everyone, because we're getting to the end of our time. It goes by so fast. My podcast team's always like, listen, don't do it too long, but I could talk forever with someone like you and some of my other guests that I've been having on, because these are all very important issues. So I'll definitely have to have you back on. Hopefully the next time I have you on, things will be better in the Ukraine, as the country moves forward with this war that's still going on. I appreciate everything that you disclosed today and shared with everyone, and especially the lesson at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your invitation once again. Thank you for your sincere support to our country, to our industry in general worldwide, and particularly for Ukrainian patients. And I believe that thanks to such people all around the world, we still have this national strength, and this strength will help us to win. The good will defeat evil, definitely, and the life will win death.
I agree with you. So again, thank you, Anna, for being on today with us. And thank you so very much to all of our listeners and followers for tuning in, whether you're doing it through the YouTube channel or you're listening to the podcast on Apple or wherever you're getting a hold of us. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Anna. And remember, I am Christina D'Arcangelo.